A figure in a silver spacesuit using a broom-shaped brush to paint the vast hull of a red spaceship. From a distance, the figure's little more than a tiny speck on an enormous letter F, forming part of the ship's name, Red Dwarf. Now, a smug-looking Rimmer sticks his fingers in his ears. Cat proudly wears a shiny spacesuit, and an explosion in the control room sends showers of sparks and Lister flying through the air. They encounter the polymorph monster, and Crichton drinks a suspicious-looking white brew. Red Dwarf, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. Marooned. On the Red Dwarf.
Abandon ship, black hole approaching. This is not a drill, this is a drill. Abandon ship, oh god, now the sirens buzz. Awoga, abandon ship.
But a black hole is a huge impacted star. It's millions of miles wide, it's massive. Why didn't you see anything on the radar screen?
Well, the thing about a black hole, its main distinguishing feature, is it's black. And the thing about space, the colour of space, your basic space colour, is it's black. So how are you supposed to see them?
But five of them! How can you be ambushed by five black holes?
It's always the way, isn't it? We've been in deep space for 3 million years and there hasn't been one. Then all of a sudden, five of them turn up.
We've only got 20 minutes.
Careful, mind the hatchway, don't knock it.
What do you want to bring this piece of junk for?
That piece of junk happens to be a Javanese camphorwood chest. It belonged to my father and it's got all my valuables in it.
I never knew you had so much crap. What's this? Toy soldiers!
Toy soldiers? They've been in our family for years. They're priceless 19th century replicas of Napoleon's Armée du Nord.
So you can't change the clothes in that like you can with Cindy?
Look, we've got barely 15 minutes.
What the smeg is this?
Just what little I've managed to scrimp and scrape by tossing the odd copper aside for a rainy day.
Remember, there must be 20 grand here.
24. Look, I thought we were supposed to be getting off the ship.
24,000? And you had the front to borrow money off me to buy me a birthday present?
That's going back a bit, Lister. It was only 15 quid.
Right, yeah, 15 quid. And what do they get? A 5 quid book token.
Those cards aren't free, you know. I had to fork out for that as well.
You never even paid me back. Honestly, you're tighter than Italian waiter's kecks.
A blue midget is loaded.
Aren't you guys ready yet? Don't hang around for us. We'll catch you up.
Are you sure you've got everything?
Just the bare essentials, food and medical supplies.
Yeah, I'm just taking the bare essentials too. 36 changes of clothing and 10 full-length dress mirrors. Cat, we're going to be away for 12 hours.
You think I need more mirrors?
Get out of here. Let's go.
The green starbug rises up off its platform.
Right, I want a safe, sensible drive, no stunts.
No worries.
Red Dwarf's doors open, and Starbug clips them on the way out.
OK, this is the plan. I'll navigate Red Dwarf through the minefield of black holes. If all goes well, we'll rendezvous on the desert moon Sigma 14D.
But what happens if all doesn't go well?
Well, Red Dwarf and everything in it will be compacted down to the size of a small garden pea.
Bye-bye, Major.
They're flying on autopilot. And Lister's looking at one of Rimmer's toy soldiers.
Please, honestly, they're priceless.
I'm only having a goosey.
Look, if you get curry all over them, how's that going to look? What's Lieutenant General Baron Jackino of the 1st Cavalry Division supposed to be doing with meat vindaloo all over his tunic?
It'll make him look more authentic. People will think he's got dysentery. You're obsessed with war, though, aren't you? I mean, you collect toy soldiers, you play war games, you read all those stupid combat magazines, and half of your books are about Patton and Caesar and various other gits.
It's about leadership. That's what I admire.
It's just ironic, really, when deep down, you're such a basic natural coward.
Coward?
Planet Leave, Miranda, that space bar at the Hacienda, remember that? When that fight started up, Rimmer, you were out of that door quicker than a whippet with a bum full of dynamite.
was a barroom brawl. That was a common pub fight, a shambolic drunken set to.
But you started?
I just made an innocuous comment. I merely voiced the rumour that McWilliams was sexually tilted in favour of sleeping with the dead. I didn't start the rumour, I merely voiced it.
To his face? Right to his face? When he was his four biggest mates? And then do your roadrunner act and you leave me to face the music?
Well, I could have got hurt.
You'd have made a brilliant general, wouldn't you?
Listen, the generals don't smash chairs over people's heads. They don't get Newcastle brown bottles, stick them in your face and say, stitch that, Jimmy. Generals are in the nice white tent on the hill, sipping Sancerre, directing the battle. They're men of honour.
I don't believe it. You make war sound romantic.
I'll tell you something. Something I've never told anyone. When I was 15, I went on a school trip to Macedonia, to the site of Alexander the Great's palace. And for the first time in my whole life, I felt I was home. This palace was where I belonged. Years later, I got friendly with a hypnotherapist, Donald. And I told him all about the Alexander the Great things. And he said he could regress me back through my past lives. I was dubious, but I let him put me back. It turned out my instincts were absolutely correct. I had lived a past life in Macedonia. That palace was my home. Because you see, Lister, believe it or not, he told me that in a previous incarnation, I was Alexander the Great's chief eunuch.
You know something? I believe you.
He didn't say I was Alexander the Great himself, which is obviously what I wanted to hear. But it explained everything. I'd lived a past life alongside one of the greatest generals in history. No wonder the military's in my blood.
No wonder you're such a good singer.
Maybe it's tot, I don't know. But it's funny, even to this day, I can't look at a pair of nutcrackers without wincing. And why is it every time I'm with a large group of women, I have this overwhelming urge to bathe them all in warm olive oil?
Rima, I have that urge. It's got nothing to do with past lives.
Well, why is it then?
It's because you're unhappy. You're unhappy with your own boring, humdrum, weaselly existence. You're looking for something with a bit more, oh, I don't know, glamour. But now is what counts, Rimmer. Living for today. I mean, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes? This makes life so exciting.
A flaming meteorite clips the side of the Starbug, sending it into a spin and hurtling towards a nearby planet. It crash lands in a thick snowdrift with snowflakes falling all around it. The planet's surface is one big Arctic plain, with a strong wind blowing across it. Wearing a thick fur-lined coat, Lister struggles to squeeze out of the ship's door. He falls to the ground, and when he manages to stand again, the heavy wind blows him backwards. He crashes into something, then uses a pick to crawl all the way back to the ship again. Inside.
Mayday, mayday. Can you read me? Come in, please. Can you read me?
Lister comes in.
Still snowing, is it?
Useless. You can hardly stand up. Never mind. Dig it out. No, look.
Nothing is getting through.
Three smegging days. They must be looking for us by now. Where the smeg are they?
It's impossible to find us in this weather. They could be 10 feet away and walk straight past us.
We're going to die, aren't we? How much food is there?
It's half a bag of soggy, smoky bacon crisps. A tin of mustard powder, 3 water biscuits, a brown lemon, 2 bottles of vinegar, and a tube of Bongella gum ointment.
Gum ointment.
I found it in the first aid box. It's that minty flavour. It's quite nice.
It's quite nice if you smear it on your mouth, old Sarima. You can't sit down and eat it.
You may have to.
And that's it. There's nothing else.
Just a pot noodle. Oh, and I found a tin of dog food in the tool cupboard.
Well, it's obvious what gets eaten last then, isn't it? I can't stand pot noodles. We're gonna die, aren't we? Correction, I'm gonna die. I mean, you're a hologram, you're Eddie, that you don't need food.
Did you find any wood?
There's no wood out there. There's no vegetation, smeg all, just a wasteland.
You've got to keep this fire going. It's your only form of heat.
I'm gonna die, aren't I? God, I'm hungry. I'm gonna have the crisps.
No.
Just one.
You ate less than 16 hours ago.
I had the raw sprout and that piece of chewing gum I found stuck under the desk.
Look, you've got to pace yourself. Go to sleep. Wait till tomorrow.
It's okay for you. You're a hologram. You don't need to eat. You don't even feel the cold.
Look, think of something else. Try to take your mind off it. Mayday, mayday. I wonder why they call it mayday.
Hey?
The distress call. Wonder why it's mayday. It's only a bank holiday. Why not Shrove Tuesday or Ascension Sunday? Ascension Sunday. Ascension Sunday. The 15th Wednesday after Pentecost.
It's French, you doink. Mayday. Help me. Mayday.
Is that right?
Everywhere I look reminds me of food. Look at these books. Charles Lamb. Herman Wok. The Complete Waiters of Francis Bacon. Eric Van Lustbader.
Eric Van Lustbader? What's he got to do with food?
Van. Meat van. Bread van. Foods.
Look, you're getting obsessed.
It's just these books. It's like someone put them here to taunt me. Look at this one, The Caretaker by Harold Pinter.
It's Pinter. Look, stop thinking about food.
Take me mind off it, then talk to me about something.
Like what?
Anything.
Come
on.
Anything apart from food?
Don't talk about food.
I just can't think of another topic.
Don't mention topics, the foods! Tell me a story, man, any story.
I don't know any stories.
Anything. Tell me how you lost your virginity.
My what?
Talk to me.
How I lost it? Well, it was so long ago, Lister. I was so young and sexually precocious, I'm not sure I can remember.
I mean, everyone can remember how they lost their virginity. It's just one of those things you always remember.
Well, I don't. Good grief, you could hardly expect me to recall every single sexual liaison I've ever partaken of. What do you think I am, the memory man?
Rima, don't give me this. I want the truth.
The truth. It's not much to tell, really. I was always a bit of a fish out of water around women. Never know what to say to them. I never think I was very highly sexed, to be honest with you. I think it was all that school cabbage I was forced to eat as a boy. Still, the first time was with this girl I met at cadet school called Sandra. We did it in the back of my brother's car.
What was it like?
Brilliant. Incredible. Bentley V8 convertible. Walnut burr paneling. Marvellous machine, marvellous. So, come on, how do you lose yours?
Michelle Fisher, the 9th hole of Bootle Municipal Golf Course. Par 4, dogleg to the right, in the bunker behind the green.
You lost your virginity on a golf course? How'd you have the nerve?
It wasn't in the middle of the Ryder Cup or anything. It was midnight.
How old were you?
Oh, she was so good looking. If she wanted, she could have got a job working behind the perfume counter at Lewis's. That's how gorgeous she was.
How old were you?
She just took all her clothes off and stood there in front of me completely naked. I was so excited I nearly dropped my skateboard.
Skateboard? How old were you?
12.
12? 12 years old? You lost your virginity when you were 12? 12? You can't have been a full member of the golf club then.
Of course I wasn't.
You did it on a golf course and you weren't a member?
Of course I wasn't.
You didn't pay any green fees or anything?
It was just a place to go.
I used to play golf. I hate people who abuse the facilities. Hope you rake the sand back nicely before you... That would be a hell of a lie to get into, wouldn't it? Competition the next day, your ball lands in Lister's buttock crevice. You'd need more than a niblick to get that one out.
I just want to say I've got a big bump.
Big? It's like two badly parked Volkswagens. The only thing I ever lost when I was 12 were my shoes with the compass in the heel and the animal tracks on the sole. Porky Roebuck threw them in the septic tank behind the sports ground. I cried for weeks. I was wearing them. I never even thought about sex when I was 12.
Maybe that's because you used to be Alexander the Great's chief eunuch.
What are you doing?
There's nothing left to burn.
My books! Don't burn my books!
There's nothing else left.
But it's obscene. A book is a thing of beauty. It's the voice of freedom, the essence of civilization.
Biggles learns to fly.
Well, perhaps not that one, but you know what I'm saying.
The complete works of Shakespeare. This'll be good for a couple of hours.
I don't know, 3 days without food and the walls of civilization come tumbling down.
What are you on about?
They say that any society is 3 meals away from revolution. Deprive a culture of food for 3 meals and you'll have anarchy. And it's true, isn't it? You've gone without food for 2 days and you're turning into a barbarian.
I'm just burning a book.
But it's not just a book. It's the only copy of probably the greatest work in English literature. Probably the only copy left in the entire universe. And you're quite happy to chuck it on the fire to keep your mitts warm for 15 minutes.
There's nothing left to burn.
That's it then, is it? Toodle-pip King Lear, farewell Macbeth, bye-bye Hamlet.
Have you ever actually read any of it?
I've seen West Side Story, that's based on...
Have you ever actually read any of it?
Not all the way through, no. But I can quote some, though.
Well, go on, then.
Rimmer leans heavily to one side and grimaces.
Now! That's all I can remember.
What's that from, then?
Richard III, you moron. That brilliant now speech he does at the beginning. Now, something, something, something. Oh, it's brilliant. Unforgettable.
I'll save it until last. Lolita. Is it okay for being Lolita?
Save page 61. That bit.
It's disgusting.
Lister tears the page out and puts it inside his jacket while he drops the book into the fire. The blizzard continues to bury the starbug deeper and deeper in the snow. Now Shakespeare's burning as well, and Lister's opened the tin of dog food. Rimmer watches in disgust as Lister prepares to eat a huge forkful of the meat.
And you can take that look off your face like I'm doing something disgusting. I'm just trying to stay alive.
You're going to eat the dog food?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't eaten for 6 days. I'm going to eat the dog food.
I'm sure the dog food will be lovely.
I mean, this isn't dog food. This is a piece of prime fillet steak in blue cheese sauce. It's been charcoal broiled in garlic butter and is going to taste delicious. Delicious. Delicious.
He puts it in his mouth and chews. Rimmer grimaces.
Well, now I can see why dogs lick their testicles. Take away the taste of the food.
The stove's getting low. Better throw another book on.
It's the last one.
What? You've burnt all of them?
When we get through to Act 5 of Henry VIII, I'm a dead man.
There must be something else to burn.
They look around. Then Lister goes over to Rimmer's trunk.
No, not the trunk. It's Javanese camphor wood. It's priceless.
There's nothing else to burn except the trunk. And what's in the trunk?
Now, wait a minute. Not Napoleon's Armée du Nord.
Rimmer, get real, man. What's important? If it burns, we burn it. What's the least valuable?
Not the trunk. My father gave me that trunk.
Well, the soldiers, then?
But they're 19th century. They're irreplaceable. They were hand-carved by the legendary Dubois brothers.
Well, then?
He picks out the money. Then it's on the fire.
Better start unpacking the soldiers.
No, there must be something else to burn. There must be.
Rimmer, there isn't. I've looked. Look, I know it must be a bit of a bummer. I mean, I know it must be heartbreaking, but it's just stuff. It's only possessions. They're only things. In the end, they're not important. I mean, they might go for a bundle in some swanky Islington antique shop, but right here and right now, all they are is nicely painted firewood.
This isn't happening, it's a nightmare.
I mean, you've got to get your priorities right. It's like those people you read about who run back into a burning house to rescue some treasure piece of furniture and wind up burning to death. I mean, nothing's more important than a human life.
What about your guitar?
Except my guitar.
Why didn't we think of it before? We could burn your guitar.
Not my guitar, Rimmer.
It's made of wood.
Yeah, but it's my guitar. I've had it since I was 16. That is an authentic Les Paul copy.
It's not worth anything. It's just a thing, just a possession.
Yeah, but it's mine.
How is it any different from my soldiers?
That's my lifeline. I need that guitar. I mean, when it gets to me, I mean, the loneliness and all that, when it gets on top of me, it's my only means of escape. I mean, I know I'm not exactly a wizard on it. I know it's only got 5 strings and 3 of them are G. But through the whole of my life, I've never had anything to cling on to. No roots, no parents, no education.
No education?
I went to art college. All I've ever had is that guitar. It's the only thing for the whole of me miserable, smegging life that hasn't worked out on me. Don't make me burn it.
We've got to.
Lister stands up and reluctantly walks over to it.
I know this might sound stupid, like, but can I just play one song on it? Just one for the road.
Sure. I mean, I'm not enjoying this.
I know, man. Thanks.
Lister puts one leg up and rests the guitar on it.
She's out of my life. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. My stepdad taught me this one. It's the first song I ever learned to play.
Just gonna...
I don't know whether to live or die. She's out of my...
When he finishes, he looks up, but Rimmer's gone. He's walking outside through the snowscape. Lister quickly holds his guitar up against the side of Rimmer's trunk and draws around its outline with a pencil. While the winds continue to blow outside, he cuts the guitar shape and bangs it out, then hurriedly puts his guitar away in the cupboard. Then he snaps the copy he made out of Rimmer's trunk in half and puts that in the fire, making sure the main body shape is visible. He quickly pushes the trunk against the wall to hide the hole in it, then sits by the fire looking forlorn and waits for Rimmer to come back. When he does return, he sees the guitar's missing and the wood in the fire.
I don't know what to say.
There's nothing to say.
You've made a supreme sacrifice, you know that? A supreme sacrifice.
Had to be done.
I've been judging the book by its cover, haven't I? All these years, that's what I've been doing. And when it really comes down to it, you are one heck of a regular guy. There's no point being modest. I know what that guitar meant to you. It means exactly the same as that trunk means to me. If that trunk got so much as scratched, I would be devastated. It's not the outward value. To me, that trunk is a link to the past. A link to the father I never managed to square things with.
Is it?
That trunk is the only thing he ever gave me, apart from his disappointment. And you've shown me by burning your guitar what true value really is. Decency. Self-sacrifice. Those are the things that make up real wealth, and from where I'm standing, I'm a pretty rich man.
Oh, God.
Burn the soldiers.
They're not the soldiers as well.
You burnt your guitar, I want to make a sacrifice too. Burn the Armée du Nord. Cast them to the flames. Let them lay down their lives for the sake of friendship. What's that smell?
What smell? I can't smell any smell.
Camphor wood.
Rimmer walks over to the cupboard while Lister waits guiltily.
Your guitar was made of camphor wood. It must have been worth a fortune. Burn the soldiers, burn them right now.
Rimmer's soldier is burning in the flames. Rimmer's standing to attention. He salutes dramatically.
Au revoir, mes amis. A bientôt.
There's something I've got to tell you. Something awful.
If it's about how you finished off the dog food, Dave, I understand.
No, it's not about that.
Crikey! We've made it!
Food! You brought food?
So where have you been over the last few days?
Oh, we rendezvoused with Holly, and then when you didn't show up after 2 days, I said we should go and look for you.
Yeah, we've been everywhere! 14 moons, 2 planets. I've been so worried, I haven't buffed my shoes for 2 days.
So Holly managed to navigate her way through 5 black holes?
As it transpired, there weren't any black holes.
But you saw them on the monitor.
They weren't black holes.
What were they?
Grit. 5 specks of grit on the scanner scope. You see, the thing about grit is it's black. And the thing about the scanner scope...
Oh, shut up.
Let's go.
Something happened here, Crichton. Something that made him and me closer. I saw a side of Dave Lister that I never, ever knew existed. He's not an irresponsible, selfish drifter always out for number one. He's a man. A man of honour.
Excuse me.
Lister walks in humbly, his hands folded in front of him, and opens the cupboard which Rimmer's still standing in front of. He takes out his guitar, looks Rimmer in the eye, and walks away with it. Rimmer looks from the fire to the cupboard to the trunk.
Open the trunk.
Crichton does as he's ordered, then they both look into it and see the guitar-shaped hole cut into the side.
Crichton, get the hacksaw and follow me.
Where are we going?
We're going to do to Lister what Alexander the Great once did to me.